Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you today. Again, I just want to thank those that are listening. Maybe you're traveling down the highway today and you're looking outside and all of a sudden you've picked up KBOE 104.9 FM and you're listening. I think we have some good stuff for you today as you travel down the highway. Also, too, many of you are on your way to church doing your different activities. I want to thank you for listening. And also, too, I hear multiple times, many of you say, Mike, this is my church. I listen to you every Sunday, or this is just a part of your Sunday routine. And again, I want to thank you so much for participating and being with us each and every Sunday morning. Man, it's hard to believe just in the state of Iowa, is it not an Iowa summer in July? This last week has been incredibly hot. Some of the warmest days that we've had yet. But hey, it's July and it's Iowa. I swear that corn grows 6 inches a day. It is jumping. And I'm sure that the farmers, I know many in the area need some rain, and we'll continue to pray for that. We get little downstreams here and there. But I tell you what, I was just recently out in Colorado a little over a week ago to see my daughter and her husband and my grandkids. And I tell you what, all the way even out to Colorado, it is green. And it's just so neat to see how the Lord in his provision in the midst of the chaos of the society that we're living in today's culture, but just so many good things that are absolutely happening. I want to encourage you in the midst of what we're being told on social media, what we're being told on the news, I tell you what, God has got things under control, and I believe without a shadow of doubt, this is going to be one of the finest hours in the church itself. Folks, I believe that revival not only is coming, that is here. God has some incredible things. He's working through this so-called pandemic that we're living out our lives in, and I think some of the greatest days for the church and for those who love Jesus Christ, we have some great things coming down. So I just encouraging you, stay encouraged. Good days are ahead of us, and we're going to stay in the watch with that. Also, too, I'm excited, too. This Sunday, we are having our Vital Gathering tonight. It's all going to start at 5 o'clock from 5 to 7 at Debbie's Celebration Barn in Oskaloosa. That's on the south side of Oskaloosa. You can go in and set that in on your phone. If you don't know how to get there, Google it. You'll get there. We're going to have now some things that we're going to do a little bit different that we've done in the past. Normally we serve food. We're not going to do that because of, without a doubt, with COVID-19 and all the restrictions. So we want to keep everybody safe. We're also going to be outside. So it might be a little bit warm. But they're still saying the temperature for that day for us on Sunday should be around 85 degrees. We are going to be on the east side of the Debbie Celebration Barn, some shaded area as well. So we're going to have plenty of room for people to spread out. You don't have to worry about, am I going to be too close to somebody? If you want to wear a mask, that's up to you, but I encourage you, we're outside. So I think it's going to be good. We're also, too, going to have all kinds of different refreshments for you. We're going to have cold water, bottled water, iced tea, different refreshments to keep you cool while you're watching as we worship. The Vital Ministries team, worship team, has got an outstanding set. I've seen it. It's going to be a time of worship and praise, and we're going to do a special teaching on Rise Up and what that means for us today, how that applies, and how it's going to work out through your life in the midst of what's going on. So, yes, Iowa State Fair is not happening. A lot of things are not going to be going on in the state of Iowa, but Vital Gathering is up. We're on the move. We're protecting, being mindful of the social distancing and those things that our governor has wanting us to pay attention to. So all those things are going to be in play for you, for your protection, a night of worship, a night to praise God, a night for us to rise up as the people of Christ as we follow Jesus. Just some really, really good things. So you don't want to miss out on that. But today it's our last Sunday in our teaching series, and we've been going through what we've called the five marks of a man. And yes, it has been without a doubt influenced and directed to men specifically. But I've got a lot of feedback from a lot of ladies, a lot of married women, and said, Mike, thank you for taking this time out to speaking to my man, to our men, because it helps us as men to understand what is it means to be a man, what does manhood look like. But see, a lot of times I think of marks as men, we lean to marks of achievement or even marks on our body. About 10 years ago, I got a mark on my body, and I had been power troweling in a basement floor, and finishing and doing that. And as we were finished, it was time to clean up. We always take this power troweler, and we clean up the blades and get the excess concrete off of them, and then it's time to load. And the power trailer itself, it weighs about, I'm going to guess, around 200 plus pounds. So it takes two guys to load it and unload it. Now, this machine has an engine and also, too, a small muffler. The guy who had been helping me was, he was smaller, and for some reason, as we're lifting, he lost his grip and he let it go. And because of that, all of the weight shifted to me. And with that weight shifting, the motor went against my left arm, and what happened on my left bicep, and I got marked a muffler burn by that machine. Now, I tell you what, it hurt like crazy, but I didn't drop the machine. And for with that, I have a mark on my left bicep that is a burn mark that was left. And again, it doesn't make me tougher. It doesn't make me stronger. It's simply a mark that has been left on my body because of a situation that is happening. And today, again, we're going to continue with the five marks. But just to, as we look back in time, the first week we talked about men have vision. I think it's important as men that we have vision on what lies ahead. The vision, what is the vision that the Holy Spirit is instilling in you as we move forward? Week two, we talked about men take a minority position. Man, what an opportunity for this as men. And what I mean by that, taking a minority position, is you go against the flow of culture. Go against the flow of what's happening. Not in a negative way, but standing up as men and taking not necessarily popular positions on being on men and also to what the Lord calls us. The other one in week three, we talked about men are team players. We need each other. We need each other in our jobs. We need each other in relationship with other men. We need men within the church itself. That's essential for our lives. Last week, we talked about men work. We're getting this culture in our society today where it's too often men aren't going out and working. They're wanting to sit back. And our government keeps allowing those things to happen. Obviously, with COVID-19, a lot of people got laid off from their work. But now the work is back on. It's time for men to go back to work, step in your positions, get a job, and let's roll. That's what it's called about doing. But today we're going to talk about another one that men, week five, our last mark, is that men are protectors. See, these five marks aren't physically seen on a man, but they are marks that are what I would share with you. It's our true identities of what it means to be a godly man. These are marks implemented by the speaking of the Holy Spirit, and also, too, they're characterized in the very life of Jesus Christ himself. We're going to begin our new teaching series looking this way, this today, about chosen and how that means for us as men. How does that apply as being protectors? But also, too, there's a recent video series that's come out on YouTube, and I strongly, highly recommend it. It's called Chosen, and you can go on YouTube and watch it. It's actually, they got eight videos that are out, and what it means is that we are chosen by God himself, and I encourage you to watch those different things. It talks about the character of Jesus himself and how he goes out and lives his life, not only being the Messiah, but how his character as a protector of not only his disciples, both men and women. I love this part. You're going to love this as you watch this. As Jesus called out not only the 12 disciples as men, but he also called out women. And you'll see in the video, Mary Magdalene following him, and also Peter's wife, and the different women who followed alongside Jesus that weren't considered actually the 12, but were very much disciples, apostles, as they followed Jesus himself. So today, let's finish this teaching series with mark number 5, men are protectors. Point number 1 for us today is this: men are protectors, and boys are predators. Now, that's a pretty deep, quite a concept, but we're going to get into that. I'm going to define exactly what I mean. Now, I want you to look as protectors. I don't know about you, but a lot of times in society, we look at who are the protectors. We look at men and women, but specifically today, we're going to look at men who are soldiers, men who are in law enforcement. They are called to be protectors. Men in the military, they go out overseas. They're protector of our nation. They go out and lay their lives down to initiate that protection and to keep us safe. So we have the freedoms that we actually have today is all because of men and women across the board over the seas and in different countries, making sure that we are safe. And also, too, we have men and women, but specifically we're going to talk about today men who are in law enforcement. They are protectors. I want to give you an example of that. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity in Oskaloosa, and I touched base on that a little bit. We had what they called the redneck rally, and it was just crazy. These guys that are jumping over these bumps and these dirt hills and stuff, and they'll take these cars and actually destroy them by doing this redneck rally. Matter of fact, I've got one of my employees by the name of Brian who he looks so forward to doing this redneck rally every year. But it's interesting, as we were watching that night, and I was part of the, I'm on the sheriff's posse, part of that department, and we were watching, and all of a sudden, on the redneck rally, we had a car overturned. It was upside down. Now, what was interesting for me is I stood back and I watched what was happening. The other men that are part of the sheriff's posse went running. They seen what happened, they assessed it, and without a moment's notice, they were in a full-out run headed to that car. Now, a lot of things could have happened to that car. It could have exploded because of the gasoline. They are not what you call sprint cars or stock cars or all that safety stuff. They're just your average, ordinary, what I would call cars on their last leg. Next step for them is headed into a being crushed. But these men are driving these cars, and they're chasing out to see how they can help that man who is now upside down in that car. Without a moment, and they're going in, reaching, pulling him out of the car, not even assessing that possibly that car could blow up, but they were there to be protectors. And it was funny, after they got the guy out of the car, they take now the law enforcement guys and also two other people, they take and they flip that rally car back on its wheels. The driver goes back in the car, starts it back up, and the race continues. It was the most craziest thing that I had ever seen in my life. But it was interesting to me is how they ran into what I would call arm's way. But see, that's what men do. And another interesting thing, as we think of protectors, generally speaking, men are stronger physically. That's due to a lot of times because of how God designed us. We have more, generally speaking, men have more muscle mass made to them. And it's usually that that's how God designed us. Now, here's an important thing, and I want you to make sure. Just because God designed us to be stronger does not mean that the wife can't be tougher. And what I mean by that, if you've ever experienced or had your loved one, your wife, ever birth a child, man, I don't know about you guys, but that is one tough thing that happens. And I don't know about you, as a man, I don't know if I could do that by any means. I'll never forget my son. He just turned 34 years old, Brandon, this past week on July 8th. And his birthday, and in my mind, in his image, I can remember his mother giving birth to him and the induced pain, the things. Here's this head that comes out at crowns, and all of a sudden a baby comes out, and it's amazing. And she is going through this horrific pain. But yet I see the toughness that's going on. Only women are designed to handle it. They're tough. But again, men are strong. But another portion of that, we look at the raw strength of men. Men are different. I want you to think about how God has wired men different. I want you to think about David and Goliath. Here's David, simply a shepherd boy, but God induces this incredible strength in him to go up against Goliath, a giant, a man who's 9'6", and here's a ruddy boy that goes out and takes that man out, not with a sword, not with a spear, but simply with a slingshot, a rock, and drills the dude and knocks him down, knocks him out, and then takes his sword and cuts off his head. Kind of graphic, but I tell you what, you see this raw strength there. How about Nehemiah, who's rebuilding the wall? He's got every citizen, every person who's out in there, because the wall has been torn down. The Jerusalem wall that's been built around the city is now in shambles. And Nehemiah goes out and he gets this raw strength. God calls him out to go out and rebuild this wall. Matter of fact, it says this. This is what he tells his men in Nehemiah 4:14. He tells them, tell his men to fight for your families, fight for your son, fight for your daughter, fight for your wives, and fight for your homes. It's a call to order. It's raw strength. And these are just ordinary men that are doing incredible things. And we see this throughout the Bible, God calling ordinary men to beat off bad men, bullies, being called protectors. I like this other verse that comes out of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And you got to listen to this, men, today especially, because there's a lot of depth to what's being said. It says this, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way." Man, I tell you what, do we need that today to where men, we live together with our wives and have a way of understanding? Doesn't mean that you have to exactly know every thought of everything, because again, we're designed differently. Men and women are designed, wired differently. But God commands us to live with them in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman who is the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you. Hear me on that. Since they are heirs with you. So that means even though they're a weaker vessel, they're an heir alongside with you. They want you to do that so that you have grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now notice it doesn't say lesser a vessel, but a weaker vessel. Men, we are called to protect our wives, our family from danger, and especially today. And so how do we do that as men? It's time for men to rise up. As we look at men, one of those marks is being protectors. That means we rise up, we pray over our wives. I encourage you as men, take a few moments each day. I do this with my wife. Take a few moments and I pray over her. I pray for her specifically, pray for her needs, pray for her condition of her mind, condition of her physically, and also to condition of her spiritually. I pray for my wife. That's a way of leading. That's a way of being a protector. She loves that. Also, too, I pray over my children. Now, I'm a grandfather. Now, my children, we are empty nesters. But I tell you what, I'm a protector when I'm around those grandkids. I tell you what, I'm always watching, careful, guiding, directing, all those things. I'm a protector. I'm on point when that happens. The other thing is called us to pray over our homes. And what I mean by that is praying over our communities. Praying as asking God for direction of how we are as men to rise up and to be those protectors that God's calling us to be. And that's essential for today, no greater than any time that I've experienced in my life. We are called to that. Which brings me to point number two. Men think about a woman's tomorrow. Boys look for pleasure of today. Now, I find it interesting, as I've shared with you many times, not only do I'm the pastor of Vital Ministries, but also, too, I have a construction company. And it really allows, a lot of times I have found in ministry, that through my business, through doing my everyday, ordinary life, has allowed me to have greater strength, greater opportunities as an ordinary man to share the gospel and be a part of people's lives and watch different things going on. And with that being said, we're building our first duplex to rent. We've never done this before, my brother and I. But I found it interesting. I had a man reach out to me. He's an older gentleman. And immediately I told him the price. He says he wants it. So he says, what do I got to do to sign on? And the reason why is because it's protection for his wife. And he went on to share me in detail a little bit of the story of why he's doing it. First of all, he says his wife has MS. As soon as they retired, he worked at John Deere majority of his life, of his career. Then after he did that, then he and his wife, before the MS would get tougher on her, go out and see what they could physically so she's able to walk. Now things are changing. So he wants to rent this place so he can take care of his wife. He also, too, is because as they get older and because of the MS, he's you know, just the physical needs of bathing and those sort of things and making doorways because she possibly could end up in a wheelchair. He's looking out for her. He's looking for her tomorrow. The same holds true, what I was also say, for young men as well. And this is important for us as we look, those that are unmarried. See, I want to share with you a story that as being a protector for my daughter, that made a big impact in her life. When my daughter started dating, there was parameters that we had set and also too of direction. And many times I would talk to the young men that she was dating and let them know my parameters over them as well. That, are you doing this for a sexual thought, a sexual reasoning, or are you doing it to care for my daughter? And I got to be honest with you, I told them the consequences that were going to happen if it was simply because of sexual desire as opposed to getting to know my daughter. That was essential for me. And I encourage you as men, We need to lead in this way. Talk to our daughters and also to talk to those that they're dating. This is the expectation. This is where this is going to go. Not where they think it's going to go. This is it. Because you got to remember, as young men, a lot of times we don't think straightly when we do that. It's important. So anyway, she was dating a young man who was college in our local community. And man, I tell you what, he was a cool guy, big quarterback of the football team. From an outer's perspective, who wouldn't want this young man to possibly be a future son-in-law? But here was the biggest problem of all. We had different faith. Now, umbrella of mercy this morning as I want to share this next piece. This young man was Mormon in faith, okay? I'm not sitting here condemning people who are Mormons, but it was different from the faith that we had raised our daughter in, okay? So the important thing was this. With that being said, I asked for them to meet with my wife and I, and we met with them. And again, this guy was a good guy. I'm sure he's a good husband today, but because of faith differences, I wanted to make something clear because I wanted to protect my daughter ultimately. And we went out and we had coffee together at a local coffee shop. And I looked at him, I said, young man, I want to say something hard to you today. And I said, I want you to hear what I have to say. I said, because of our faith being different, we have our faith where we want our daughter to go. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have the faith of where your mom and dad have told you to go. That is up to you. But because of that, I want you to quit after we have this meeting today. I want you to quit dating my daughter and walk away. Man, I tell you what, you ought to saw his face. My daughter was, talk about upset with me, because she didn't know I was going to do this. But I tell you what, it was the right call. Now, years later, fast forward, my daughter now thanks me today for having that talk. As men, as protectors with our family, men, don't be afraid of the tough talks. They're essential. God has called you to lead in such a way. See, the same thing is true too with men. We protect our wives sexually as well. And this is where I'm going with this. Men, you can't protect your wife sexually if you're taking your eyes down the wrong road. And what I'm saying by that, going to TV, watching shows that are inappropriate, going to the internet, watching, getting online, seeing things that you should not see, or also to paying attention to what social media or culture wants to tell us it's okay to do in marriage. See, what's important is because what happens is men, as married men, all of a sudden now the expectations that we have seen, we bring into the bedroom. Umbrella of mercy here, folks. I'm talking about some really tough stuff here, but it's important because we got to look at what is God's parameters, what is God saying, and also too, we also went with our wives to the expectations of sex in a bedroom, of that way it's corresponding that we're both in agreement. I love it. If you go into the Bible, I love the Song of Solomon in the Bibles. And it's literally a love story between a returning warrior and a bride. It's some good stuff. And it also, too, it gives some real visual stuff that's going on. Matter of fact, if you go to Song of Solomon, verses chapter 4, verse 5, Solomon writes this, your breasts are like two fawns that are browse among the lilies. He's talking about her sexually, about how beautiful she is. Verse 4, verse 11, milk and honey are under your tongue. So he's talking about of kissing one another, of how romantic that it is. And the other one, it says, come into my garden and taste of its choice fruit. That's intimacy. Between a man and a woman, that's good stuff. We need to be able to not be afraid to talk about these things, because what are we going to do? Where can we talk about it? But he says this in go back to chapter 4, verse 1. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Now be careful with that one, guys. But it's about her beauty. It's on the outside. So sex within a marriage is between a husband and a wife. And again, sex in a marriage is between a husband and a wife. We can go a different direction here, but it's also to consummated sex and relationship of is within the boundaries of marriage itself. So I encourage you, men, that's also being a protector. Men that are protecting your potential mate, staying firm, staying away from sexual activity, and the same thing too as men, staying within the sexual boundaries of marriage itself, which brings me to point number 3. Men keep pushing themselves. Boys Coast. I have a good friend of mine. He's a pastor in Oskaloosa, and his name is John. And I love John as a man because he's always pushing himself physically. You'll see this guy early of a morning. He's out running. He's pushing himself. He wants to stay in shape. It creates health and energy is in his body. And he does that because he's pushing himself. But he also, too, I notice he pushes himself mentally. I catch him oftentimes. I've worked with this man before prior. He's reading books. He's preparing. He's doing that is with his sermons, but not only to as he leads a church, but within himself and within his family. And he also pushes himself for the church. He goes out and sometimes he literally denies what himself. But see, men, a lot of times we stop pushing ourselves and we go into what I call coast mode. We quit pushing ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually. And there's so many things as men that we got to pay attention to that we keep continually pushing ourselves in these areas so we continue to have a good life. Which leads me to my final point is this. Men are proactive as they lead other into true spirituality. I'm going to finish with this piece of scripture. King David, charging his son, says this in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. I'm going the way of the earth. He tells Solomon, be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man, and keep this charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, to keep his commands, to keep his ordinance, and to keep his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses. Why? That you may succeed in all that you do, wherever you turn. What great words of strength today of what it means as we do say this in closing. Men are called to be protectors. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. You are the ultimate protector of our lives. You're the Messiah. You're the Lord. You're our Savior. You came to protect us so that we might find a new way to come in and to abide with you into your kingdom within heaven itself. Jesus, I just pray for those men out there listening today that they take up the arms, that they are the protectors of their homes, of their wives, of their families, of their children, their homes, and their communities. Lord, help us. What greater day that we need it than now? This is our time. Jesus, give us the strength and the courage to be the protectors that you've called us to be. And we thank you, Lord, for your continue as we honor the sacrifice of the protector that you did on the cross for us. We thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. We're virtually out of time. I want to thank you guys today for listening. Don't forget, Vital Gathering tonight from 5 to 7 at Debbie's Celebration Barn. And we're going to start a new teaching series. I'm excited about it, called You Were Chosen. You won't want to miss out on this new teaching series as we jump into the Bible. Look as Jesus has chose the different men and women, but also to how he continues to choose us today. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.